Praise God. Good afternoon, everybody, in Jesus' name. I want to ask you, please, if you can sit down. Thank you so much. What a joy and an honor to be here back in Empowerment Christian Center. I want to extend my heartfelt thanks and gratitude to your apostle, Pastor Tony, a very humble man. I thank him for, am I okay? Amen. I thank him for giving me an opportunity to minister the word in his pulpit, for his confidence in my ministry. It's not always that you can just take people and make them minister on a Sunday morning unless you really trust the person and you're very confident that there is a word of God in them. And so I want to thank God so much for this privilege. I honor you, sir, you and First Lady. Thank you so much. You are in our prayers. Yeah, every time when I pray, I remember you. And after the service, I think I'm going to have to get a photograph of you so that I can pray looking at you. Yes, it's very important. Amen. And so I'm going to do that. And I'm holding in my hand a flag of my country, Botswana. And this is a flag that I've been carrying with me ever since I got here. And I've been looking for a worthy place which I can be able to live. Thank you, sister. To leave this flag in. This is the black, the white, and the blue. I'm sure you have known or heard about this wonderful nation called Botswana in the southern part of Africa. A nation that loves God. A nation that calls upon the name of Jesus. A nation where before any meeting takes place, prayer has to be offered to God. It doesn't matter whether it's a business meeting, it's a government meeting, it's a secular meeting, whatever meeting has to take place, we have to have an opening prayer. We acknowledge God. And please pray for us. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the people of Botswana. Remember them in your prayers. We're a God-loving nation, but of course the enemy attacks. And we pray that God is going to be able to bring up that nation to be a beacon in Africa. Africa is known for the wrong things. Our leaders are known for the wrong things. And we pray that somehow God will be able to raise up a new breed of African leaders that are going to not only care for the people who put them into power, but are also going to be able to take care of the resources that have been entrusted to them. And so I want to hand this lovely flag over to you, sir, and say this is a connection between the US, Kenya, and Botswana. Thank you so much, sir. Because when I came in, I noticed that you had the flags of every country except Botswana. So I said, no, it must not be. Amen. Praise be to God. And I made sure that is the biggest of them all. Praise God. I want to say a big thank you also to my friend, my brother, Duncan Mushina Karanja, a man I've known for years. We've been working together for years. I mean, like since 1996, we've been working together from the days when we were at Bible school. After we graduated, we took different paths in life. He ended up here in Texas. And actually, the reason why I'm here is because of him. And every time when I'm around your neighborhood, I make sure that I come over to see him. Even if not to preach, really, but just to be around him and his family. And my elder sister, Nancy, she always feeds me like she really wants me to go back home looking like an American. Hallelujah. I'm sure you understand that metaphor. So I'm always eating and I'm so grateful. You know, she makes sure that everything is taken. Yesterday we went shopping and I love shopping. Amen. And she's the best person to be around with, especially when I'm doing shopping. So praise God. Please don't judge me. Amen. You know, there are some things that people have and people are. So I'm just like that. I love shopping. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the pastor loves shopping. That's what he does. Amen. So the reason why I love shopping really is not for myself. When I come over here, I buy so many things. I buy suits, buy t-shirts, shirts, and everything else. Because when I get home, everybody must benefit from my trip. So I, you know, people see me buying lots of stuff, and then they say, "Is it all for yourself?" Not really. When I get back home, I just give most of it away. You know, that's. I feel that God sometimes raises up a Joseph for the saving of many nations. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to be quick this morning. There's so much that God has put in my spirit, and I'm praying that God is going to give us. Oh, that's so lovely. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You are so wonderful. Thank you so much. I want us to turn with, please, in our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. And it's a very well-known passage of Scripture. We are all very familiar with it. And I'm going to take a couple of verses there, and then after that I'm going to digress to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning to read from verse 11, which is also a very common passage of Scripture. Are you in 2 Kings? If you have found it, please say amen. Amen. And now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, and so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned with us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." And so he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." And so he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. When the appointed time had come, it happened as the man of God had said. Now let's digress to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians is in between Genesis and Revelation. You will find it somewhere there. Ephesians chapter 4, the fourth chapter, verse 11. Hallelujah. If you found it, you can say amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that one more time your people are ready to eat from your table. Thank you that man does not and shall not live by bread alone, but they shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We thank you right now that this Sunday morning we are sitting, we are ready to, Lord, receive transformation in our lives. We thank you for the word that shall come forth. Thank you that it shall come forth undefiled. It shall come forth unhindered in simplicity, in truth, and in the power and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say it, amen. I want to speak to you very briefly, like I said this morning, on the subject topic that I've been dealing with, you know, for a few years now. It's not a complete subject, but I'm going to give you sort of like an edited version because of the place that God is taking us to this very morning. Are you ready for the word? I'm speaking to you this morning on the subject gift carriers. Gift carriers. Gift carriers. And the main objective in this presentation is for us to be able to understand a few things about our connection to what I would like to call the fivefold ministry gifting. As you look through the body of Christ today, you'll discover that many Christians and many people of God, they have a deficiency in their growth simply because they are not exposed much to the complete fivefold ministry gifting. And you discover that if you, as a Christian or as a born-again child of God, you have got deficiencies in one area or another, most it's because you are not exposed to the giftings and the ministry giftings that God has placed in your midst. And as a result, you find that your functioning as a child of God, your functioning in your walk with God somehow is hampered or hindered because you are not exposed to the fullness. Because the Bible says it is these five that equip us. And when they've equipped us, we are now ready to function. So if they are not equipping you, if you are not being equipped by the fivefold ministry gifting, then it means that you are not at a place of complete service to the body of Christ. And so what happens then is that God sets an order to connect us to a fivefold ministry gift so that our potential may be realized. And so if you want to really understand the logistics of this, it simply means that we can only manifest our potential through spiritual connection. Are we together so far? And so now, when you are functioning as a child of God, and then there are some things that are not in place in terms of the fivefold ministry gifting, or if you are not exposed to them, you are going to have deficiencies, like I said. So if you, for instance, are not exposed to the ministry of an evangelist, if you are not exposed to the ministry of an evangelist, what happens is that the deficit in your life is going to be the fact that your faith becomes introverted. Your faith becomes introverted. What that means is that you're always inward looking. You're always looking at what you need and what you desire and what you want to experience and what everything is always about you. I'm not hearing any amens. Am I in the wrong church? I'm not a stranger here if, you know, I'm home. Amen? So, hallelujah, somebody. And so if you are not exposed to an evangelist, what happens is that you are always introverted. You are always looking at yourself. Whenever you are praying, God bless me. God bless my house. God bless my children. God bless my wife, my husband, my grandsons, my granddaughters, my great-grandsons, my great-granddaughter, up to the fourth generation, God bless only our line. Hallelujah. It's because your faith is introverted. You are not exposed to the ministry of an evangelist. So an evangelist, whenever he comes into town, he's going to keep you outward looking. He's going to show you it's not about us only here. It's not about us having a good time in the Holy Ghost here. It's about souls out there. That's why I love what you did yesterday. Go out there and let the world know about Jesus. So an evangelist is going to keep you outward looking. If you are not exposed to the ministry of a teacher, your deficit in life shall always be seen in your ignorance. If you are not exposed to the ministry of a teacher, your deficit in life is always going to be seen in your ignorance. In other words, you don't have the principles that ground you, the principles that keep your faith together. Many people, you know, they are good, God-fearing men and women of God. But what they lack is principles. And principles are such that you don't just get them. Principles are found in the Word. The Word of God is a principle in itself. So the more you study, the more you study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Workmen that do not need to be ashamed, but that correctly handle the word of truth. And so what happens is that the teacher will always lead you line upon line, precept upon precept. He teaches you. He imparts to you what is necessary for your growth. You need to have the ministry of a teacher in your life. Somebody who can tell you, sit down and let's go from Genesis up to Revelation, line upon line. Let the scriptures be the foundation in your life. You need the teacher. If you're not exposed to the teacher, your deficit is always going to be seen in your ignorance. You don't know stuff. Many Christians are in that line. They just don't know stuff. They don't know the will of God for their lives. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to exercise their faith. They don't know how to live holy. It's simply because they've not been taught. That's why the church is a place of teaching. We teach you how to live. We teach you how to love your wife. We teach you how to raise up your kids. We teach you how to do stuff because the word of God is the counsel of life. Without it, you cannot live. That's why many a times when you hear people say, well, let's not be spiritual. Let's just be real. The only reality that you know is the word. Hello? Are you still breathing? The only reality that you are ever going to know is the word. Because the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin again. It's the word of God that you keep continuously and that you exercise on a daily basis. So if you are not exposed to the ministry of a teacher, your deficit will always be ignorance. And so what happens is that you're going to be relying in your own mind and your emotions and your feelings concerning what God's will is for your life. But you must allow the word to ground you. If you're not exposed to the ministry of a teacher, like Prophet Hosea said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. They just don't know. So they perish. And let me say this, sometimes the problems that you have is equivalent to your ignorance that you have. If God can reveal to you, your problems are solved. All you need is revelation through the word of how to maneuver during those stormy seas. And then you are all right. Hallelujah. And then thirdly, if you are not exposed to the pastoral ministry, your deficit is going to be seen in your lack of connection to the body of Christ. In other words, you become an individual Christian, separate from the covenant community, and you are like a lone ranger who accounts to nobody. And we've got so many Texas Rangers riding alone in the mountains of life. They don't have a pastor. Can I hear an amen? In the kingdom, there are no lone rangers. You don't sit and say, I'm just going to watch television and be blessed by television. No. That's not the kingdom. You are not exposed to a pastor. Is it ironic that you can have a mechanic, somebody who fixes your car, your automobile, as you call it here? You can have a lawyer, somebody that takes care of your legal issues. You know, whenever you are in trouble, you know who to call. You can have a doctor, your own personal physician, somebody who can take care of your body whenever it is ailing. And some of you are even having your own psychologists. Somebody who can, you know, you just lie on the couch and you just tell them all your problems. And some of you have got your own accountants, people that take care of your money. Some of you have even your own personal trainers, people that help you with your gym. You have everybody for everything, but you don't have a pastor. Hello? You have everybody except a pastor who's supposed to take care of your... If you are not exposed to the ministry of your pastor or a pastor, what happens is you are always disconnected to the body of Christ. And if you are disconnected to the body of Christ, you are never going to accomplish much in the kingdom. Because this whole thing is teamwork. It's body. We are all members in a bigger picture. We are all playing our part. When you come in here, you are coming in to give your own contribution towards the vision of this house. You are coming in to build upon a foundation that has been laid. In other words, you may be a brick on the corner somewhere, but you are very critical, because if you are not there, the building looks awkward. The building does not stand. You may be the light. You may be the stage. You may be you are something. Your value is critical, because it is what's keeping us working together. So if you are not exposed to the ministry of a pastor, you will always be isolated somewhere out there, being a voice and nobody's hearing. So you need to come to that place where you are exposed to the ministry of a pastor who is going to keep you connected. And then fourthly, there is the ministry of an apostle. And if you are not exposed to the ministry of an apostle, your deficit in life is going to be seen in your inability to be established on high levels of faith at different times in your life. You need an apostle. You need somebody that can be able to clear the atmosphere and the environment that you are in, because an apostle dislodges powers of darkness in a particular place and region and begins to lay a strong foundation by which the enemy cannot shake. And so, in other words, you are able to deal with strongholds and then build on a strong foundation laid by the word of an apostle. The last ministry that you need is the ministry of a prophet. The prophet, if you're not exposed to him or her, your deficit is going to be seen is in your not having a seasonal word from the Lord, a step ordering word in your season. Out of all the scriptures that you have learned, of all the things that you have been taught, you still will not be hearing what God is saying for that moment, because you're not exposed to the ministry of a prophet. So a prophet comes in to point to you and point for you and say, this is the direction. This is where we are going. This is where God is saying. And this is what God is doing right now in your life. And so what happens here is that sometimes when you read the word, you study the word, you've got the logos in you. You are rich in the word. But the logos must step out of the pages of scripture and become a rhema. Because when I've got two jobs that I need to choose from, there is no scripture that says thou shalt work for McDonald's because KFC shall not treat you well. You will not find a scripture like that. So you need the Spirit of God and the voice of a prophet to tell you the Bible or the word of God says go to McDonald's. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When I've got two men, all born again, Holy Ghost filled, loving Jesus, and they want to marry you, there is no place in scripture that will say, marry Ken and don't marry John. It's the Spirit of God that comes out in the spirit of prophecy that says, don't even mess with John. He's born again. He's a child of God. But this man is going to mess you up. Go with the other one. That's the ministry of a prophet. Are you hearing me this afternoon? And so you need to be exposed to the whole, you see, it's the whole thing, the whole ministry gifting working together. Why? Because one cannot be perfected by hearing only one ministry. You cannot be perfected by hearing teachers only. You cannot be perfected through prophecy only. You cannot be perfected by doing evangelical crusades. Because after people are born again, what next? After the demons have left their bodies, what next? They need a job. They need to buy a house. They need to go to work. So many a times we are in balance because we exalt one ministry over the other. So here we need to be exposed to all. We must have the builders that come in to build and to establish the strong foundations. That's where now the ministry of a prophet comes in. I had to take a very long introduction because of what I'm going to release to you this morning or this afternoon, whatever time it is. I'm going to release it to you based on that foundation, the ministry of a prophet. The Bible says that a woman
from Shunem, she's an awesome woman. Because this woman, the Bible says that she happened one day that Elisha passed through her home and, you know, she made some food for him and she fed him. And the Bible says that after a while, he made it a habit to come over and have a meal at her house. And you all know that the prophet, whenever he came in ancient Israel, it meant that he is carrying a word for the people and for the season and also for the nation. So when he's coming over to that particular place at that time, what happens is that this Shunammite woman, she says to his husband, I perceive that this man that comes every time to come and do his work and do the work of God, I perceive he's a man of God. Hallelujah. I perceive he's a man of God. I perceive there is something about him that we need to be able to protect, to establish, and also to create a right environment for. And so the Bible says that she says to her husband, let's make room for him. Let's do an upper room for him. And on that upper room, let's put a bed there, and let's put a table, and let's put a chair, and let's put a lampstand, so that whenever he's coming our way and whenever he's coming to this region, he will find a place to lie on, to sit on, and to feed from. It's going to be good this afternoon. I feel it. Somebody say amen. I want us to first of all look at this woman and dissect her a little, because she's an awesome woman. I want us to look at her deeply and begin to find out and discover some few things about her. Because this, the first thing that we need to understand is she is a woman. She is a woman. Can I hear an amen from women? You know, back home in Africa, women say amen. I don't know here, but back home in Africa, women love saying amen. Hallelujah. And they encourage the preacher. They don't just sit and look and, you know, they encourage the preacher. Hallelujah. And so what happens was this woman, she has got two qualities that begin to make her an outstanding person. The first quality that we get to know is that she is a wife. Because she is a wife. She has been taken by somebody. Hallelujah. She is a wife. She's a woman, but not just a woman, she's a wife. Now, a wife represents the abilities in her or within her biological abilities to be able to do some things that another person who is not a wife can be able to do. Firstly, she has got the ability to nurture things because she's got a womb. She has got a womb. She has got a womb. A womb represents a capacity to receive a seed. She has got capacity to receive a seed and as a result carry this seed to full term. In other words, she is able to carry what she is put inside. She can be able to carry the word of God full term, 9 months. My God. The number one thing that begins to be a qualifier for her is that she has got capacity. And let me say this to you, that whenever God is going to come and visit you, whenever God is going to come and do something in your life, the first thing that you need to understand is God is going to look at your capacity, your ability to handle what he wants to give to you, your ability to carry things, your ability to be able to download from heaven and from the Spirit of God and be able to carry the word full term. And so what happens here is that because she has got capacity, it places her in a position now of an advantage. And secondly, the Bible says she has a husband. She is not only a wife, but she also has a husband. What that means is that she's got somebody that has got oversight over her. In other words, she's somebody who is under a covering. First, she has got capacity, and secondly, she's under a covering. These are the two distinct qualities that begin to qualify her. Capacity plus covering is equals to legitimacy. In other words, this is something that conforms to acceptable rules and standards. This places her in a position to understand the time of her visitation. In other words, these two abilities, capacity and covering, they begin to make her aware of the workings of the Spirit. And any time when you are a child of God and you've got capacity and covering, it places you in a place where you are ready for whatever God is going to do. That is why when she looked at this man and she said, I perceive that this man is no ordinary man. There is something that he is carrying. And so when he comes around carrying that thing, we want to have capacity. We want to make sure that whatever he is carrying, there is enough for others, but there is also enough for us here. And she says, because we are covered, we are in a place of security, we are in a place of covering, we are submitted under an anointing, we are submitted, I am submitted under something. Covering and capacity is equal to, get ready for this explosive breakthrough. Capacity, because what it does is going to help you to discern the office of, can you please raise me up just a little, say, madam, whoever it is, please. Thank you, so that I don't kill my voice. Amen. I'm an African preacher. I like shouting. Hallelujah. You all are so quiet. It's scaring me. Amen. Am I in Kenya? Hallelujah. Am I? Praise God. What happens here is that her perception leads her to make a decision that will alter her past, her present, and also her future. What happens here is that she begins to look and she sees that this man is carrying something. There is a word that is floating in the atmosphere. And I discovered so many times that people can come in a Sunday morning service and come in and sit down and it's business as usual and they're already in their minds, they've got preconceived ideas of how the service is going to work. I'm going to come in there and we're going to sing a couple of songs, and after that whoever comes in shall give the announcements and collections are going to be taken and the preacher is going to motivate us, and after that close with a word of prayer, boom, we're out of here, business as usual. And when you come in with that attitude in the kingdom of God and in the house of God, no wonder people come in and they go out and nothing happens in their lives. Because when they come in the presence of God, they are not expecting anything. They are not expecting God to do anything. They are not expecting something to happen. And that's why we have got no miracles, no signs, and no wonders in the church. Simply because we have put God in a box and we have said, this is how he is going to work and this is how he's not going to work. He's only going to work in a conference. He's only going to work in a Benny Hinn meeting. He's only going to work in this. We limit God. And as a result, we rob of ourselves of things that he wants to download and things that he wants to do. As I speak right now, there are stuff that is floating in the atmosphere. There is healing and there is breakthrough and the word is moving around and it's looking for somebody that has got capacity, somebody that has got a covering, somebody that is ready for the word. And the Bible says that this woman perceived and said, this man has got a word, and this word, I don't want it to just float in the atmosphere. I want it to come and stay here. So what we are going to do is we are going to make a small upper room in the chamber somewhere, and we are going to make sure that the environment is so big and so great that we are going to put some furnishings inside there, so that when the word comes, when the carrier comes, when the anointing, when the gifting comes, it does not pass us by. There is a song that the old saints sing, pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art blessing, while on others thou art speaking to, while on others that are reaching out and that you are healing, and pass me not by. You know why? Because God can pass you by. I'm a firm believer. God can bless your neighbor, and you can just, you're sitting there and you don't understand what's going on, because God, he is going to pass you by. And the songwriter says, pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art blessing, while on others thou art healing. Do not allow me to come into this place and go home the same way I came in. I have come to a place where I refuse to come in the house of God and come out the same way. My God, I've got no time to waste. When I come in here, God, I want you to do something. I want you to change something. I want you to rearrange something. I want you to adjust something. Oh my God, I wish I had a church up in here. I want you to do something and move in my heart and move in my family, move in my life and change the life of my boy. I want you to interfere for me. And so when I come in your presence, I am ready to pour my very life to you. I'm ready to do things that I've never done. I'm ready to change, and I'm ready to the Bible says that she said, I am going to turn my home around. A decision that makes her turn what is regular into the next level. All that she did was she said, I'm going to turn this room and change it and rearrange furniture and I want to make room. All I want to do is make room. Can I ask you this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is, have you made room for God? Have you made room for God? In other words, have you done anything of late that is going to change the shape of your house for the sake of the kingdom? Have you done anything? Have you inconvenienced yourself for the sake of kingdom advancement? Have you done anything of late that is going to make God, even when the word is floating around, something that is going to say, whatever I do today, I have to visit that sister. Whatever I do today, I have to speak to that brother. Because there is something that he has done that has caused me as God to come down and to hear. There is something that they are doing. There is a pull. There is something that they are pulling from you. See, I want to say this. If you are not pulling from the anointing will not bless you. Things of God, you need to be able to go out and have a hunger and a thirsty for. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger. Blessed are those that thirst, for they shall be filled. In other words, they shall come. If you are not hungry, there is no way you can be filled. Hallelujah. Can I give another example of my sister? Every time when I know that we are going to be having supper at the house, and because I'm in the U.S., I've not had Shima in a long time. Every time when I know that we are going to have supper, I make sure that I don't eat anything during the day to prepare myself to have capacity. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to prepare a good dish and find that I am full. That's where many of us are at right now. God prepares a big dish, but we are too full of ourselves to be able to receive anything from God. And we are so full that whenever God is doing something, come to Africa, you will see people that are hungry for God. Come to the motherland. People can stay all night until morning. You have to tell them, go home. It's enough. You've prayed too much. People that can stand 7 days and 7 nights in the mountain praying for a shoe. And you have got so many of them, you don't even know what colors you have and how many pairs you have. All that they want is a shoe. Mama Sika Yata. Capacity. So she says to herself, I'm going to inconvenience myself because I'm getting ready for the next level. I'm going to inconvenience myself because I'm seeing something that's going to happen here. I may not be able to put my finger to it, but I want to make room. I want to make room. I want to make room. I want to create some space. Because if God is going to bless you, he's going to bless you based on the space that you create. He's going to bless you based on the capacity you have. And if you are full, there is no way you are going to receive some more. That's why I want to say to you this morning, Power Empowerment Center, please, whatever you do, never be too full of God. Whatever you do, never be too full of his presence, so much that you have got no need of him anymore. Every day of your life, when you wake up in the morning, you have to say, Lord, I need thee one more day. I know yesterday was good, but today I need you more than I needed you yesterday. I know you blessed me last year, but Lord, I know there is more to you than what you did last year. I know things are happening good for me right now, but God, I know there is something better for me. My God, I want God to I want you to
bless me. I want you to bless me good. So much so that after I've been blessed, I become a blessing to somebody. That is why when you open up yourself and say, I shall become a channel, you are saying, God, I am ready. I'm making room. And whatever you give me, I'll pass it on to others. Whatever you bless me with, I'll pass it on. I'm not going to stay with the blessing. I'm going to create enough room that when you are speaking, there is room for the word of God to do something in my life. And so this woman begins to create some space and some room. And there's four distinct things that we found in that room that the woman put in the house. Four things. Four represents balance. It's a number of balance. Four things that she put. Firstly, she put a bed. Somebody say a bed. She put a bed in there. She put a bed. So that when the word comes, it must find a place of rest. Bed represents a place of rest. At the end of the day, we are all tired. We go on our bed and we begin to sleep. Why? Because the bed represents a place of rest. In other words, you see, there are so many times when we as people of God, we are transitioning and we are changing and we are moving from one level to another. But there are times when we come to a place where we simply have to cry out and say, God, I am tired of you visiting. I don't want you to visit anymore. We pray, God visit us. God visit us. Listen, God doesn't want to visit. He wants to stay. Amen. See, if we've got visitations of God, it simply means that after he has visited, he picks up his bags and he goes away and we are back to business as usual. I don't want God to visit. I want God to stay. So this woman put a bed in there and say, let the word of God find a place of rest. Oh, God, I'm tired of having little bits of blessing here and little bits of blessing there and little bits of breakthrough here and little bits of healing and revelation here. I want you to come and rest. Come and rest here. Come and rest here in my house. Come and rest. Let this place be a place of rest. That whenever and whatever and whoever, let it be a place where you are going to dwell. I don't want to have a good time only when I'm on Sunday. I want to carry the same anointing that I got out of the house of God, even to my own house. I want to take it out of this house. I want to place it in my house. In my bedroom, let the presence of God be there. In the boardroom, let the presence of God be there. In the places where I, oh my God, you're not hearing me.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you. I want you to rest in my house. I don't want you to just come and visit and after that I'm feeling empty and lost and I'm back again to the same things. I want you to stay here. The same feeling that I have right now, the same open heaven, the same blessing. That's why David says, in my blessing, in my prosperity, I said I shall not be moved. In other words, he's saying in that place of blessing, I made a commitment. I said, God, I want you to stay now. I don't want people to look at me and say, well, it's just a window. Things are happening for you now, but tomorrow is going to change. You're going to be back to square one again. No, no, no. I'm tired of that zigzag and detour and left and right type of life. I want a straight life now. I want a blessing now. I want this blessing to stay forever. My God. Can I hear an amen from somebody? I want God to rest in this place. And the bed represents also a place of comfort. It represents a place of bathing. Because when you are sleeping at night and there are dreams that are coming in, you are able to birth dreams and you are able to see your future and you are able to look at things and say, this is what I want to be and this is the desires of my heart. A bed represents a place of bathing. And I'm here to tell somebody this morning that you are going to give birth to something this year. You are going to give birth to something. You are pregnant with destiny. You are pregnant with things and people and circumstances. You are pregnant with people's destinies. Bed represents a place of birthing. Because before you can be able to have a birth, you need to have a dream and something that is going to be put inside of you. And I'm here to speak to people that have got dreams that have been locked out somewhere because you thought, this cannot happen. This will not come through. This will not ever, ever take place in my life. I'm here to speak to you. Don't
bury that dream. If you make room for the prophetic, if you make room for God, don't bury your dreams, because in God, we don't bury our dreams. In God, we birth our dreams. Number two, it's a table. Represents secure provision. David says, in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my very enemies. Table represents secure provision. And I want you to see this, that the principle of secure provision works like this. If God is going to feed you, you need to feed the revelation first. Let me help you with this. Firstly, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 4, the Bible says Abraham receives three guests. And when he receives the three guests, he says to them, please sit down, let me prepare a meal for you. Do not be on your way. The Bible says he prepares something for them and they sit down and they eat. And after they have eaten, after the revelation has eaten, now they speak to Abraham and they say to Abraham, by this time next year, Sarah, your wife, shall have a baby. At the appointed time next year, Sarah, your wife, shall have a baby. What just happened? He fed them. He fed the word. He fed the revelation. And now the revelation is feeding him back. In the realm of the spirit, precious saints, whatever you shall receive is a result of what you have released. Whatever God is going to make happen to you must be a result of your ability to release something in cognizant of the season that you're about to enter in. Elijah, when he meets the widow of Zarephath, he says to her, bring me some water. The Bible says the widow, the woman, rather, leaves to collect the water. And then while she's on her way, he calls out to her and says, and please bring me a morsel of bread while you're still at it. The woman says, I've got nothing. All I have is this small little piece for me to eat and my son. And then after that, we die. And hear what the prophet said. He says, bring me that bread and let me eat first. Let the word eat first. Let the revelation eat. Feed the revelation first. And the Bible says, after he has eaten, he says, for thus saith the Lord, the meal shall not cease until this drought is finished. She has got a meal every day in a time of drought because she fed the revelation first before the revelation fed her. Solomon, he gives sacrifices more than any man that has ever walked the face of the earth. He offers them in the house of God. He offers them at the temple. And the Bible says that very night, after he has fed the revelation, God visits him and he says, what is it that you want? Because if you are going to feed the revelation, it's going to feed you back. You feed the word before the word can feed you. That is why every time when you are coming in the house of God and you are doing stuff for the kingdom, you are feeding the revelation, because it is during those times when you are busy, during those times when you are busy doing things for God and you are serving God and you have, right. See, many of us, we fail to understand that whatever you do in routine moments, where is Israel? Hold on. Can you help me up in here, my brother? You see, many a times when we look at our lives, we are going to see the patterns by which God operates. You see, when God is going to bless you, He's going to bless you based on the things that you are doing in routine moments. Routine moments. There is a blessing that I call the suddenly blessing. The suddenly blessing happens when you are busy. The Bible says of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, both of these people, they are people that qualify for the blessing because both of them are in the lineage of the priesthood. Both of them, they are, Bible says that they are holy, they are righteous, they fear God, and they are walking according to the word. And the Bible says these are the people that would really have been qualified to say, receive the blessing. But the Bible says they were barren. They had no child. And one day when he comes in his house, Zacharias, he goes to the temple and he begins to serve God like he's always done over the years. He comes in and he's serving and he's doing his work in the tabernacle, and he is not concerned about his inability to give birth. He is somebody that is not concerned about the needs that he has. He's a place where now he is saying, I don't care about the things. May God give us people, saints, believers, who are able to sideline their pain for the sake of the kingdom. Ushers and greeters that are able to smile at you and say, welcome to the kingdom and welcome to the body, welcome to the house of God, while their baby is busy dying of cancer out there. People that are able to sing and worship and praise God while their husband is saying, I'm going to divorce you. People that, oh Jesus, just turn it down a little. God bless you. God is looking for those type of people that are able to ignore their own personal walk challenges to be able to serve the bigger picture. And the Bible says it is in those routine moments when Zachariah is busy faithfully serving God and is faithfully doing his thing. And the Bible says suddenly an angel appears. Oh, suddenly, I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but there is somebody up in here. God is going to give you a suddenly blessing. He's going to give you a suddenly moment where heaven shall open for you after many years of sweating and after many years of praying, after many years of fasting and after many years of giving, after many years of witnessing, after many years of crying in his temple. In your routine moments, one day you walk in the house of God and suddenly your blessing is here. Suddenly that sickness leaves your body. Why? Because you are in a place of routine and God is going to bless you in a place of routine. Amasikata. Bible says of Cornelius, he's a man in Acts chapter 10. He's a man that fears God. Man that does the will of God. A man that is always building and giving and doing stuff. And the Bible says one day, one thing I like about the scripture, it says, and he prayed to God always. He was somebody that was consistent in his service to the kingdom. He was somebody that was always doing what God had called him to do. Despite his dysfunction, he's a soldier, he's a centurion, he's cut off from the Commonwealth Covenant of Israel, but that doesn't stop him from doing the things of God. And the Bible says, suddenly, one day, an angel appears to him and says, Cornelius, what you have been doing in the kingdom has come as a memorial. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to. What is it that you've been doing which is a memorial? What is it that you've been doing that will cause God to be able to change his mind concerning your situations? What is it that you've done that is going to touch the heart of God? How many people have you fed? How many lives have you changed? How many people are so reliant and so dependent on you that if you're not in the picture, somebody's life is going to be affected? Cornelius received a suddenly moment.
because he was able to do routine things, routine services. Number three, she put a chair. Chair is a place to sit and meditate. It's a place of power. It's a place of counsel and judgment. The Bible says in Psalm 75 verse 7, God is the judge. He pulls down one and lifts up another. I don't have time for that one. Number four, she put a lampstand, a candlestick. That represents illumination, lighting. That represents the anointing. The anointing which seizes or causes one to function even in a place of darkness. The anointing which represents the abilities to do things even when the lights are out. She said, I want when this anointing comes, it is able to carry me through my darkness and through the darkest hour of my life. I want when this anointing comes, I want it to be able to cause me to function even in my midnight hour. I want when this anointing comes, it becomes a desirable pleasure and it causes me to do what I've never would have done in my own strength and my own abilities. Church, God is looking for a people that are going to go beyond church as usual. He's looking for people that are going to value, first of all, his presence. And you know, many people, they don't value the word. They don't value the word at all. If you are a Christian and don't value the word, how are you going to live? We are too reliant on the power of economies and not on God. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. There are times when what you are building your life on will crumble on your feet. You need to anchor your life and your faith on something that is higher. That is why every place I go, I always look at people. Amen. I'm your visitor here, so tomorrow I'm going, so I can say whatever I want. That's the advantages. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you need to come with your Bible to church. It shows you don't read your Bible. That's what it means. Hallelujah. You need to come to the place where you value the word. You carry it with you. You understand its importance and the fact that if it's not there, I don't know about you here, but me, take away this word and I'm finished. I'm gone. That's where my anchor is. I come from a country that is very economically sound. The largest producer of diamonds in the whole country. But we don't trust in diamonds. We trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't trust in oil. We trust in Jesus. We don't trust in the power of the US dollar. We trust in Jesus. Even in your dollar you wrote, in God you trust. Hallelujah. God is looking for those type of people that can be able to say, if you don't heal me, nobody can. Because you're going to go from one specialist to another. From one doctor to another. Fly all over the states. And even go overseas. And when you come to that place where people are saying there is nothing we can do, that is when you're going to look up. Say, I look up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from him who created this body. Who knows how it's supposed to function. Doctors go to schools for 7 years to know something about which God created. Why don't you just cut the middleman and go straight to the warehouse?
Hallelujah. We need to come to that place where we rely 100% on God. Where we trust in Jesus. Where even if we know we are able to do some stuff, but we are going to say, God, our trust is not on things. Our trust is in you. Even in these United States of America that you live in, let God be your God. I'm going to pray now. Hallelujah. Sense an anointing in this house. Sense an atmosphere now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that, Lord, you are carrying out your word in this season. And you are looking for those that are going to be open, that are going to have capacity, that are hungry for you, that are thirsting after righteousness. You are raising up an army of believers that shall pass through this land by your Spirit and shall glorify your precious name. Those that are called and separated unto God. Those that have a mandate in their lives and in their spirit to honor you. Lord, I pray, may you raise up such even in this house. Raise up such in this house. Raise up men and women that shall be faithful to the cause of the gospel. Yasakata. I hear the sound of abundance of rain coming over your life. It's a rain of revival. I want you to pray in the spirit right about now. Create an atmosphere now. Create room. Riva baba bosi kere nene ne meshia la baba bosa katala baba bosa. Rike anda mahaya sheteke bola ba sere kama lulubushi. Deke mama haya ndiri siya baba ya tolo bobo siya. Ooh ah. I ndiri kama haya ndiri li shirabu saya takabu diri dibisi. Ginga mama mandala la basi ke tiri dibisi bala baba korobo ya titi. Rekama saraba shandele lebesi akaraba kaya ndele lebesi te ziranga mama ya ndalobusi atalababa sokotolobo ya rararaba siriri zikendere bendala mama nurobusi ababa haya lebesi laba rekende ndamama haya ndelebusi alababa ya taraba siriri robobobos mama haya mandelebesi alababa ya kata rekende ndirebe ababa haya lebesi kabaraba si atalaba. Speak to God, somebody. Speak to God. In your own words, speak to God. Lord, here I am. I'm hungry. Here I am. I'm thirsty. Here I am. I want more of you. I want more of you. In the name of Jesus. 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 Open the floodgates of heaven. Lord, let it rain. Asiara Rashataka.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Lord, massage it. Ma'am,
let it rain.
There's a lady behind you.
Open
yes.
the floodgates yes. of heaven. Let it rain.
No drums, no drums.
Let it God bless rain.
You. God bless you, ma'am.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
What is your name? Sharon. Charity. I had to ask you your name because your name means a lot. Charity, love, because that's what you're full of love. So much love to give away. The Lord sent me to speak to you today and to tell you that you are bringing in His kingdom a sweet-smelling incense, and there is a new season that we're entering into. I see a place where you are going to see a fulfillment of some of the dreams that you have had, even from the time when you were a baby girl. Those dreams are being resurrected and they are being birthed. God is causing you right now to be able to see a greater dimension of His power and His glory in your life. I see a mighty restoration taking place. You shall be restored. You shall be restored. Your family shall be restored. Your children shall be restored. Whatever you lost, you shall be restored. Whatever you lost, you shall be restored. God is faithful to do it. God is going to do it. Something is beginning to happen right now. It's happening right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Come, come. God is showing me that there are rivers that are flowing your direction, and it's mostly financial rivers that are coming towards you. There's a place where God is going to be able to give you strategically a plan that is going to unlock an economic powerhouse. I literally mean like economic. There is some businesses that you've been having in your heart. You wanted to do something here, back home, wherever. I feel that there's some projects that are still outstanding that you are saying to God, God, this cannot be because economically this is where I am. Listen, God's economies are not dependent upon anything. Walk by faith and start by faith and let God do the rest. It's a faith walk. Start it and let God begin to move. Let God begin to move. He is going to cause success. I hear the word success over and over again. It's floating in the air over your life. Success, 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 success. Let her walk in faith. Let her step out into the unknown. I will give her success. Success. Step in it by faith. Step in it by faith. It shall be. Ma'am, come here. You in red? Yes. In the name of Jesus. How are you? What is your name? Caroline. God bless you, Caroline. Yes, God is going to make you turn around. Okay? You're facing the crowd right now. Face the crowd. Face the crowd. Yes. See how you're shining? See how you are? God is saying, I'm going to make you face your fears. And I'm going to make you strong. And I'm going to make you bold. And I'm going to make you a giant. Face me now. It's because you are fearful. So fearful. And he cannot work in you because you fear sometimes and most of the time what people are going to say. Who are people? What you should concern yourself is what is God saying, not what people are saying. Amen. See, I come to dig deeper underneath the earth. You've got other things in your mind, but I'm ignoring those things.